Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening. Good evening to each and every one of you that is listening to this program on Blog Talk. I am Sharpen Iron. I am Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Brandon. I want to give honor to all that might be listening tonight. And I want to see, is this Minister Sylvia Kaiser right on? Okay, is Dr. Serena right? Are you on the line yet? All right, well, I'm going to open up with prayer. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the honor and the mercy and the love that you have given us today to give us life. Because I know if it wasn't for you, we would not have seen today another day, another new day, another birthday. Each day that you give us is another day. It's a birth to realize, to grow, and to love, and to understand that you are the head of our life. For those that are not, they should understand. We are only here today because of you, O Lord. I give honor and ask you to bless each and every person today, man, woman, child, all humans that you have blessed to be alive today. Lord, I give the honor to you to bless us and keep us in the right minds, and to bless our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, to understand without you, we would not be. I give honor to Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright, Pastor Troy, and to each and every person on this earth, spiritual-wise and bloodline. I thank the Lord for my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, nieces, nephews. I thank the Lord for each and every person that he brings into our surroundings to make it be out of love and to appreciate each other, no matter what your color is, your religion is, your sex are, that we are all gifted to be on this earth because of God, our Father, and the Son, Lord Jesus, choose to give us another life that they gave, love us, another life, another day that so many did not make it to today. I want to bless all the ones to ask, to understand, to love, and to appreciate each other. I want, Lord, to bless all the ones that's in the hospitals, going through their illness, a financial reason, whatever they seem the problem is, to bless them to know that they can come through you, to you, and to get all the understanding and the nourishment that we deserve. To bless our government, to our legislators, to let them know they are here to serve all the people, not some of the people. To not be a selfish way, to understand what is good for all people, no matter what you are in these elections, to win for the people. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and ask you to bless all these people out here with these hate crimes, for whatever they're going through, all these demon devils and all the harmful that they're doing to people, to stop and to love and to cherish and to carry us all through this. I thank you and I thank you and I thank you forever and ever. I'm going to ask, is Dr. Serena Wright, are you on the line yet? Is Minister Sylvia Kaiser right on the line yet? I just hear a little noise in the background. I don't know if it's me or if someone having mute their phone. But I want to just start off the program and talk about your blessings. I want us all to listen and to think and to understand and to think about what is your blessing. Your first blessing was when you opened your eyes this morning. When you woke up, you was able to walk, able to talk, able to see, able to move around, to do what some was not able to do. Some people woke up this morning. It wasn't due to your alarm clock, your husband, your wife, your children, the neighbors, the noise. No matter what it was, you need to thank it. Think about it and thank God. Because without him, you would not have seen today. So many don't understand that they need to understand. Our lives are here because God decided to give us another day. God, our Father and the Son, Lord Jesus, blessed us with another day. Blessed us to be able to see that so many cannot see. Blessed us to be able to hear. Yes, some of us cannot hear. We can walk. Some cannot walk. We can talk. Some cannot talk. We need to bless ourselves with the nourishment and to live the life through God, our Father and the Son, Lord Jesus, because our blessings are through them. No matter what you're going through, we're going to all have hard times, but we need to know through God, it all will come out the right way. He will always bless us the right way. He will always bless us with what's needed. Might not get all that's wanted. Everything we want is not really good for us. Excuse me, just because Sam, Sally, or Jane might have it, that don't mean that it's good for us. Each and every one of us has a blessing, an outstanding blessing that's for us. As the song says, what God has for you is for you. I mean, it's like we need to understand that God is for us and always for us. But what we need to do is to be for God, to honor and to treasure and to read the word yet more than we do. Yet, I know I need to read more, I need to understand more, and yet we still need to pray more and to give our God, our God, his children, the benefit of it all. So we need to look among each other and thank God for what all we have, and also thank God for what they have. We all need to give thanks for each and every one, not just selfishness. But we need to think and thank and ask God for his mercy and his forgiveness and to show us how to better ourselves toward him. I want to ask, take a time and ask, are you on the line, Dr. Serena Wright? Okay. I'm going to just continue to ask God to bless us all to understand that we are so blessed in this world. But yet, if you choose to live under this damnation, these demons, these hateful crimes, these hatreds, deceptions, is that, as the saying, do what's best for you. So the best can be done to you and help you. I know sometimes I don't say the right words. I don't put it in the right order. But I just pray to God that you all understand that we need to do better. We need to become better. Don't ever think we are so perfect. Because yet, if we think truthfully about ourselves, we have all made mistakes. All we can pray is that we don't make any more. Or all we can make, whatever mistakes we make, that it is not harmful. It's not hatred. It's not deception. It's just to ask God to forgive us. And if the mistake is upon family member, friend, or neighbor, that they can pray and ask God to forgive us, and we can ask them to forgive us. Because we all need our blessing each day that we live. Because the devil and these demons are so creative. But yet we need to ask God to bless us so that we will know, we will feel, and we will understand which way to go. I can think of so many things I used to do that I praise and thank the Lord daily and day and in and day out that he have blessed me. As they say, that I don't do it no more. That's just in the past. It's over with. I thought it might have been good. Although sometimes what you think is good, you already know is wrong. But to thank God for blessing you, for going through what you knew was wrong, but yet you did it anyway, but yet it did not affect you, it did not cover you, it did not ruin your life. So many people do so many things that they know is wrong, that they know it's not good, and it takes over their life. And all we can do is ask God to bless us to come through. Are you on the line yet, Dr. Serena Wright?
I'm on the line.
I'm turning it all over to you. It's in your hands now.
Thank you so much, woman of God. I thank you for what you all were doing. I have the delightful opportunity to share with the people Law Talk on First Mondays, and I am so grateful to the Father for what he has poured and invested in each one of us. I am so aware that each of us carry such a profound portion of the image of the Father, and it is simply our responsibility to partner with him in making it a reality that the world might see our good works, but then decide to glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so I thank God for this opportunity. I tell you that I'm sure that there are people that have several things going on at once, that people that are parenting and taking care of spouses and children and are single mothers and single fathers, or they're attending to their marriages or concerns with their grandchildren and or uncles, but there is never a time where we are too busy to come together and to fellowship in the presence of the Lord. I thank God for this platform and for creating a way for us to interact with the whole wide world. there can be a place where we are so busy that we've got to remind ourselves that God has given us a platform to interact with the whole wide world, to open our mouths after we filled our bellies with truth and release that liberates and sets the captive free. This is a wonderful time for the kingdom, my God in heaven. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, oh my God, is present with us. He is comforting us. He is leading us and he is guiding us. He is speaking through us. He is unctioning us. He is encouraging us. He is chastening us. He is teaching us. He is instructing us. He is drawing us and he is compelling us. And we are those that are delighted in the Father. I thank God for you and you and you. I thank God for Apostle Alexis, Cecilia Kaiser, for you, Sister Sheila, for you, Sylvia, for Brandon, for those that have decided to maintain this assignment, to be faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because I myself have gone back to the archives. Oh my goodness, there have been times when I knew I needed to hear from somebody that had heard from God, and I've gone back to the archives from years ago. My God in heaven, you are leaving a mark on the earth that cannot be erased. We just are hopeful that the kingdom recognizes that it is advancing. We thank God for each of you, and we are going to get right into sharing what the Spirit of the Lord would have us to share. I guarantee you that we have something that you want to hear, because the Spirit of the Lord is always speaking. We are going to share what the Spirit of the Lord would have us to share, and then we're going to be done. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now. We give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father. And we celebrate you in your fullness. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for who you have always been and who you have decided to be when you took residence in us. If you would go with me to the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is already moving. He is already here because we brought him with us. If you would go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13, 2 Samuel chapter 13, we are going to share, and as soon as the Holy Spirit is done, we will be done. We are so excited to embark upon this new season of what the Spirit of the Lord is releasing in the earth. Do you know that God is always speaking? If by chance you cannot hear him, just know that it's not because he's not speaking. There may be a concern that's drowning out his voice. There may be some worry or a financial matter or emotional chaos that's drowned, because God is always, somebody say always, always speaking. Turn to your word. Turn to it. Because in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He's always speaking. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Quiet yourself and let the Lord speak. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I promise you, we are endeavoring to get right to it. 2 Samuel chapter 13. My God, I have, by the obedience of the Lord, has been sharing from this, and I thought that I would be sharing from it continually throughout the year. And then on the last month, we got an opportunity to kind of break into another place of understanding concerning what God is wrapping up for us during the beginning of this year. And so listen to this. Let me tell you, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, what we will do by review, let me tell you that you may have to go back and read it for yourself, but I will try to review. This is the story of Amnon and Tamar. Tamar is the daughter of David the king. David the king. And she had asked brother Amnon, and he had become overwhelmed with what we found to be lust. He was overwhelmed when we later found out in the story to be lust for her. And he had a friend that helped him devise a plan to trick her into coming. Although they solicited the help of the king, he pretended to be sick. He told the king that he needed her to come and to fix food for him and to make him feel better. David did instruct her to do just that, to go over and help your brother, help him fix food for him and tend to him while he is sick, even though it was a trick. She did that as her father instructed. She went there, and as it were, and we pick up around verse 12, is when she realizes that this is not going the way it should. He had asked her to come into his room and to feed him in the room, and when she came in the room, he asked her to lie down. And then she realized that this is going way wrong. And she said, no. She said, no, my brother, verse 12, do not force and humble me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. And so as we go on and as we go on, there were a couple of exchanges between the two of them. And then in verse 20, it says, and then Tamar, this is after she was forcibly, after she was raped, after she was forcibly violated by her half-brother. It says in verse 20, she was forcibly raped by her half-brother. They had a couple of exchanges. And in verse 20, it says, Tamar dwelt in her brother Absalom's house, a different brother, a desolate woman, a desolate woman, that she was desolate, without purpose, without fruitfulness, without hope, without expectation. There was an exchange. She did what her father said. She was violated, and she became desolate. And so as God had me to examine this scripture, he instructed me to compare that with John 10:10, that says that the thief come only but to kill, steal, he says, and destroy. But I came that you may have, enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Contrast. So you have a type and shadow of a woman whose afterlife became tragic. She became desolate in comparison to what God actually wants for our life. But what I began to examine within my own heart was that there are far too many of us that I know, far too many of us, I said us, far too many of us that are ending up in the type and shadow in the process of Tamar, as opposed to us ending up expressing the fullness of the new covenant, living in abundance to the full till it overflows. Please stay with the Holy Spirit. As there are far too many of us that whose promises are desolate and marriages are desolate, our children end up desolate. They don't end up anything abundant. They end up so far from the things of God that you say, how did you get all the way over? Our grandparents are desolate. They are bitter and cruel and unhappy. Our uncles, our supervisors, our jobs, our colleagues, our neighbors, our blocks, my God, our cities are desolate. And so I said, how is it that we are ending up desolate when God says very clearly, not in the type and shadow of the promise, but in the express declaration of the promise, that he wanted us to be abundant and live like we were overflowing? And so God began to show me. He said, well, go back to the type and shadow and to the pattern that she followed, and let's not do any of that. I may not know exactly what to do, but by the time I got done with 2 Samuel chapter 13, I knew exactly what not to do. That's a good start. Even if I'm still seeking the kingdom and its righteousness along the way, I won't do any of this. While I'm still waiting for the promise to manifest, I won't do any of this, because Tamar somehow ended up desolate. And so follow me. And so Tamar ended up desolate. And so I said, God, if anything, I don't want to end up, somebody say desolate. I don't want to end up desolate. And not in when you told me what your will is for me, not when you told me what you wanted for me. God and me are a majority. He said, oh my God, if I be for you, if I want you to have abundance, why are you desolate? If I said it, I'm going to make it good. Where is the desolation? He said, you should always have the answer for the hope that lie within you. Why are you hopeless? Oh my goodness. God's coming after our desolation. He's coming after depression. He's coming after oppression. He's coming after weariness. Oh yes, yes. Because even Tamar ended up desolate. And I know all of you Bible scholars always question me when I make a reference to the Old Testament, but it's just a pattern. It's just a pattern that God is giving us to or to not follow. We are new covenant believers, and all of our promises are already yes and amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. And so this is what we'll do. We're going to then let the Holy Spirit walk us back through. And then if we identify ourselves in any of these places, we're going to walk away from these desolate places and then walk all over into the abundant places. We're going to leave these hopeless places and walk over into the hopeful places. We're going to leave these oppressive places and walk over into the victorious places. Praise the name of Jesus. And so if we go back and we look and see what Sister Tamar is trying to tell us. And so if we go in verse 10, it's where is her first message. Over in verse 10, if you remember our review, she had been instructed by David, the king, to go over to Amnon's house because Amnon was faking like he was not well. And she was only to cook for him, to care for him, my God, to cook for him and to care for him and to tend to him while he became better. And in verse 10, it says, then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into the bedroom so I can eat from your hand. Somebody say, wait a minute. Bring the food, because it was when she went into the bedroom, verse 11, that he began to unlock his plan. He said, come lie with me, and she realized that she was in trouble. And so the first thing that we want to recognize is that if you are the daughter of the king, somebody say, I'm the daughter of the king. If you are the son of the king, and anywhere along the way that the path starts to look funny, would you please go back and ask Daddy? Tamar told me to tell you, you've got to make sure you ask enough questions. See, there are some times when we didn't have enough of a relationship with Daddy that we ended up desolate. Somebody said, go back and ask. They said, Daddy, when you told me to go over here and you told me to marry him and you told me to get this job and you told me to move to Oregon and you told me and you told me to marry this woman, but now she's doing such and so. Is that also what I'm supposed to do? Because we can get so far into a thing that we forget that we are the king. Somebody say, I'm the king. I can always go back to Daddy and ask anything I want to know. Say, am I supposed to go in his bedroom? Now, did you? I know you told me to cook him soup, and I know you wanted me to tend to him, but do I have to do it in his bedroom? There was no reason that Tamar had to do everything that Amnon. She could have went right back to Daddy. But what Tamar wants us to know is that along the way, while you're doing what Daddy says, don't ever think you can't ask him any more questions. Don't you know that he told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but he also said there's a ram in the bush? Oh, let me tell you something. If Abraham had not heard him, he would have made the wrong sacrifice. There's never a time that we have to think that we can't ask Daddy. We don't want to ask in pride. We don't want to ask in resistance. We don't want to ask with a rebellious heart. And I want to bring you over to the New Testament. Even Jesus asked. He says, is there any other, can this bitter cup, oh my God, the Holy Spirit wants you to know, when it starts to get rough, and when things are, they just, this ain't nowhere looking like nothing you told me. Somebody say, please know that you are the kings, and go back and ask Daddy. Even Jesus asked. He said, they are about to crucify me. Can I just ask you, is there any other way? He knew he was still the Father's. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had came to earth to do nothing but fulfill the promise. But when it started to look real crazy, he just asked. He said, I know this is what it seemed like you told me to do, but I just want to ask. Because if Tamar had asked, she would have never ended up in that room. She would have never been forced to. Oh, yeah, I hear the Holy Spirit real good, because somewhere in there, the enemy has convinced you that it was your fault. And no, 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 no. You were released from the responsibility, because those that are the kings never fail. They just learn. Lord, have mercy. Those that are the kings, they don't fail, they just learn. That's why God told me to tell you in the beginning, I'm coming after the depression. I'm coming after the guilt. I'm coming after the shame. Oh, my God. And I just am instructing you, daughter. I'm just telling you, son, don't ever think that when things are not going the way you think they should, that you can't come and ask. If you can dial back into the annals of your history, if you can look back over your life and you hear the voice of condemnation say, see, you should have asked. That's not what I'm saying. I'm instructing you that we've got the type of relationship that can bear the burden of any of your questions. Go ahead and ask. As long as you're assured that you're going to surrender, go ahead and bring clarity to that situation. Say, God, did I make the right decision? Is this what you want me to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Because this is looking real crazy. I don't know why I've got to feed him in his room, but let me go back and ask my daddy. Oh, God, let me tell you. Because sometimes the answer, just like with Jesus, is not what we wanted. Somebody say, but clarity will bring strength. Once Jesus understood that he was clear with the instructions, he was able to give his God a full nevertheless. Oh, please follow the Holy Spirit. You just want to get clarity. You just want to understand. Because part of the desolation is that you weren't clear. Oh, my God, I hope you can hear God. Part of the reason you feel like God left you and God betrayed you is because there wasn't a space for God to bring clarity. There wasn't an opportunity to clear up the murkiness, to make it go another way. Hallelujah, glory to God. But let me tell you something. God will make it real clear. If he says go ahead, the go ahead is good. If he say no, baby, you don't have to go in that room, let me tell you, you don't have to go. But at the end of the day, none of the condemnation and none of the guilt is yours. Oh, God is trying to free us tonight. But there is a place where we should understand that if things start to go left, let me go back and ask Daddy. That's all it is a set of instructions. That's all it is a place for us to be clear. Somebody say all clear. Oh, yeah, I never fail. I learn. Oh, my God is not here to condemn me. I was already condemned. But what he's doing is breaking open the barrier of condemnation. He's casting down the imaginations of shame and guilt. And let me tell you how I know shame was bred into the matter. Because in verse 13, she says, now once she begs him, she says, no, my brother, don't force me to lie with you. First of all, he said that she had to do it in his room. Once she came into the room, he began to let her know that he was going to force her. And she was saying, no, don't. Do this. Do not force and humble me. This should not be done in Israel. And verse 13, she says, and how could I rid myself of my shame? I told you the Holy Ghost was coming after it. Because, see, there is some shame that you are carrying about how you did what you did when you didn't know. My God, I thank you. There's some shame you're carrying about why you said what you said. And when you look back over your life, you examine the things from the place of fault. But the truth of the matter is, somebody say, I just didn't know. That's no reason to live in desolation. That's no reason to believe that the Father is not your advocate. Go ahead and release that desolation and that shame and that guilt. Go ahead and renounce those words. That shame was not yours. You didn't know to ask. Oh my God, somebody's gonna get free. You didn't know to tell. You didn't know to go to human. You didn't know. You didn't know to object. You didn't know to exercise a place of authority. You didn't know to speak up. You didn't know to say, I'm not going. You didn't know. But because of what you didn't know, the adversary is trying to gain advantage over you and to try to say that you have to live in desolation. Oh, but no, you don't. God is breathing back into a place of abundance, that exact place that your life has been raised of its wholeness. He's breathing back into you wholeness and abundance, that place of desolation of your promise, the place where the enemy is trying to see desolation into your hopefulness. God is going to breathe back abundance with that place where the enemy's trying to condemn you and shame you. Oh, God is speaking abundance. My God, I thank you. I thank you and I give you praise. Somebody say, the number one, make sure you remember you're the king. You can always go and ask the daddy questions. Let's go on. We only got two more. In verse 16. There is one more hint as to why Tamar may have ended up in desolation. And there is one more hint to how the enemy is trying to drag the people of God into desolation. Oh, my God, let me tell you. Because she says, after he has raped her, and then he has the audacity, he has the unmitigated, unruly gall to say, get out. Now that he has violated her, he's going to tell her, get up and get out. And then in verse 16, she says, no. So now, let me tell you, now, afterwards, she's got all up in a suchy much, and she's going to confront him. Somebody say, oh, I see. Because, see, the thing is that once we realize that we should have confronted, that too can be a place of desolation. Oh, let me tell you, don't you know that once you realize that you should have when you didn't, that the enemy can come and try to wear you out with regret. Oh, I wish I would have told Mr. Jones. Oh, I wish I would have told my cheating wife. Oh, I wish I would. Don't you know regret will bring desolation? Because once the violation had occurred, or once life does what it'll do, then sometimes the enemy will come and say, if you was going to do so much confrontation, why didn't you do it in the beginning? He'll try to wear you out with regret. If condemnation happens to not work, he'll always have you looking backwards and saying, oh, I wish I should have told him. Over in verse 10, why did I wait to verse 16? See, now I wish somebody would walk up on me. I'll tell them no. I'll say this, but you've got that place of confrontation wrapped up in a package of regret. Oh, my goodness. You're almost bitter. Because that no doesn't come from a place of authority. That no doesn't come from a Luke 10:19, that I've got authority over you. That no is wrapped up in bitter regret. That no is wrapped up in defensiveness and self-protection. Oh, the Holy Spirit's talking real good right now. Oh, my God, let me tell you, you do need a no. But somebody, let me tell you that the Holy Spirit wants us to have a Luke 10:19 no. That I know because of my Father, I've got authority over you. When I say no in the name of Jesus. I don't say no in the name of bitterness. I don't say no and I wish another would. I wish such and such a would walk up on me. I wish a joker would ask me to stay late when he didn't ask her to. I wish a joker would try to do this and that. Let me tell you something. I wish I would trust another woman. No, I wish I would. I wish I would get married again. Let me tell you, you gotta know, but it's wrapped in bitterness. It's wrapped up in regret and defensiveness. It's got you all wrapped up in the protection of self. Oh, you've put yourself on the altar, and you are not willing to be vulnerable before the Father anymore because you actually had to suffer that thing. But let me tell you, God only wants us to have a Luke 10:19 no, one that understands the authority that he has given us, that says, listen, I have authority over all of the power of the enemy. The reason I'm saying no is because you're trying to bring me into desolation. The reason I'm resisting is because I'm resisting the bitterness, and then all of the rest of the regret is going to flee. Oh my God, the Holy Spirit's liberating us today. I'm resisting coming under the hand of racism, and then all of the hatred's got to flee. Oh yeah, I've got to know, but it's not a no that's springing from regret. I don't have a no from defensiveness. I don't have a no that I'm so hurt I'm proud and rebellious. Oh, even God can't tell me. Let me tell you something. I was talking to a man of God recently, and he said, I don't even want to hear what God's got to say. Don't you know that you can get in such a place that you've got the wrong no? Lord have mercy. You've got it in the wrong place in the wrong time. That you've gotten so far into hurt and regret that the enemy's sitting back saying, yeah, that's the no I want you to have. But it's not a Luke 10:19 no. Oh, he wants us to, number one, forget that we're the kings, that we can always go back and get the situation straight, that we can be in the middle of the Garden of Gethsemane when everything about our life looked like God lied, and go back and clarify. Don't you know that we can always go back and get that clarity, and then we won't end up in desolation. We won't end up feeling like God has done us wrong. We won't lose hope at the brink of promise. We won't walk away from the garden miss being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, and then the second thing, that we have got to make sure that every single one of our no's is in the authority of the Father, that we can refuse the no of regret and condemnation, that we can refuse the no of defensiveness and pride, that we can refuse the no of bitterness and resistance, unless it's resistance to the enemy, unless it's resistance to the adversary, that we don't have to take on the no of darkness, that we don't have to take on that no that says, no, let me tell you something. If life has violated you, if a job has mistreated you, and they tell you to leave, say bye-bye. This ain't abundant anyhow. God got something better. I'm not going to stand and refuse you when God is sending me to be liberated. When God's promise for me is abundance, I'm not going to stay, oh my God, and then refuse to be set free. Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh my God in heaven. Oh, by the time she brought up a no, he had told her, get up and get out. Oh, you ain't got to tell me twice. You mistreated me. You slept with my sister, won't pay no bills. You done slept with all my boys, all my friends. You done went to my job and had and came on to my boss and Mr. Johnson even talking crazy. And then you tell me to get up, get out, and I say no. No, no, no. Bye-bye. If you're not pleased to dwell with me, then see you later, because this is not abundant. Let me tell you something. God hasn't signed us up for perpetual hurt. I'm not talking about when we get in our flesh and refuse to go to the king and ask, is this how you want it? I'm talking about when we've gotten things, when we've got the cart way out in front of the horse, and we think that we can make some sanctimonious. Oh, well, God knows. And then God and all things work together. Let me tell you something. If he has blasted your eye and broke your ribs and God's going to work it together, you go ahead and get a new apartment and ask God for clarity. Say, God, I'm still yours. But something about my broken ribs ain't abundant. I need to make sure, because this train didn't get all the way off the track. Don't you know that sometimes we have gotten so somewhere, we've gotten all the way bitter, or all the way docile, or all the way complacent, or all the way in compromise, that we've got our nose so mixed up that the world is looking at us and saying, that ain't none of God, you done gone crazy. Oh no, let me tell you, if you need to stay, you need clarity. If you need to continue in that place, you need to go and ask God. If they and told you get up and get out, and God said that that's the promise, don't you know that you need clarity? God don't need you to be abused and mistreated. God don't need you to be beat down and tortured. Oh my God, as a way to get you to the glory of God. Let me tell you something, the Holy Ghost is talking. Oh, there are times when we must suffer a thing. Lord have mercy. There are times when we must suffer a thing in order to reign. But don't you know, before you suffer it, you better go back and ask God. Say, Daddy, I'm still yours. Do I need to suffer this crucifixion in order for your glory to be revealed? Because I only desire to suffer in those places that are going to give you glory. Do you know that she began to resist the liberating path and ended up in desolation? Good God from glory. Do you know that there are some people that are suffering in abuse, neglect, torture, mistreatment, and calling it God? And all you've got to do is go back and say, Daddy, is this the way? Lord, I thank you right now. Don't mistake the place where God would have us to suffer as a time to forsake the path of liberty. Oh, I thank you, Father. Don't you know that they can? Do you know that if he could, he would deceive the very elect of God? I promise you, the Holy Ghost is talking. There are sufferings, people of God. I just hope that you can hear the Holy Spirit bring clarity and insight to what is being spoken. There are times of suffering that we that are his must endure. Jesus suffered. Please hear God today. But in that place, because because he was because the suffering was of such a nature, he went back to the Father and said, God, I do not want to do this. This is going to be crucified. This is going to be torture to me and my flesh. Is there any other way? And when the Father instructed him to proceed, he submitted and received the crown of glory. There are times, people of God, where we are suffering in abuse. We are suffering in maltreatment. We are suffering in discrimination in places where desolation and poverty and a lack of affirmation reign. And we do not understand that that is not the place of the kingdom. That we have begun to resist a time where we are to be liberated. Don't you, that she could have gone to David and said, wait a minute, is this the way that you wanted me to do this? And once it would have been clarified, and then she would have not become embittered, and she would have not begun to offer resistance at the wrong time, and she would have not have blocked the place of liberty, and she would have not ended up in a desolate place. Please hear God, this is not to condemn, but to liberate. Oh, because some of us are depressed and oppressed because circumstances in our lives became so tumultuous, and we missed the opportunity to go back, and we are not in a place of crowning glory, but we are in a desolate place saying, God, I did what you said. Oh, but go back and say, yeah, but I remember when I resisted the place of liberty. I did what you asked me, but in truth, when you were liberating me, I was in unforgiveness. I rose up in pride. And so, God, I understand now that the place of liberty is being opened for me right now. God, I walk fully into my liberty. I walk fully into my abundance. I humble myself not before the circumstance, but before the King. And I say, God, yes, I renew my relationship with you. Oh, God, I do realize that when I lost my job, when the house that I believe you gave me got foreclosed on, I still could have gone back to you and said, God, what now? When that opportunity for liberty opened and I didn't take it, I find myself now coming back to the Father, saying, God, what now? You are liberating us through this message. You are liberating us through this revelation. You are liberating us through this understanding that we may have been distracted. We may have been detoured by that seemed full of pain and turmoil. We set out to believe you. We set out to follow your instructions. But as things began to get torturous, and as life began to violate us, and as circumstances began to rise, and as the enemy came in like a flood, we became hardened in our own hearts. Oh, we're only before you, Daddy. Soften our hearts completely. Soften our emotional hearts. Soften our financial hearts. Soften our hearts, God, towards you. And we will in no wise turn you away. Oh, we renew ourselves in relationship. We come back to you, God, and say that we offer a resistance only to the enemy. We resist him only, and we know he will flee. We know, God, that you always have a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. We rise up in our victorious places. If you have presented a situation, it is only that we might be strengthened, not that you orchestrated it, but that we might be strong as a result of it. Oh, God, we thank you now for any Amnons that have come into our lives where we blamed you. We repent for any circumstances that came on the path of promise and we turned away from you. We repent for any Amnons walked on the path of our promise and made us turn away from relationship and realizing that we were still the kings. We turn our hearts back to you, and you have promised to in no wise cast us out. You take us into your bosom. You turn us back to you for supplication, for comfort, and for reassurance. We thank you right now, God. We give your name the praise, and we give your name the glory for those places that we've turned away from the path. Oh, because it became so difficult, because it became so torturous. Oh, for all of the Amnon circumstances that we allowed to turn us away from you, we turn back to the Father in the name that is above every other name. God, we renew ourselves in you today. We love you, God. We open our hearts to the worship before the King. We open our hearts to you, God. We turn away from the disappointment. We turn away from the disappointment of people. We turn away from the discouragement, and we turn our hearts back to you. We renew ourselves in relationship and position, for we are daughters and sons of the King. We thank you, Lord, that we exercise our authority against the adversary fully, knowing that we have power over the enemy and all of his power. Oh, we exercise ourselves in it fully in the name of Jesus. We exercise our hearts in authority over unforgiveness and bitterness, over resistance and pride that has crept in through the circumstances of life. We thank you, Lord, that we are now liberated and fully available to love and to serve and to worship you, to give your name the praise, to give your name the glory, and to give your name the honor. We thank you and love you forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for this invitation to worship before the throne. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. We praise you and forever worship your name. Woman of God, it's back to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that word of wisdom and that word that is so much needed. And it is so true. When you are asked to do something to the father, the mother, the boss, whatever, don't never be too much to ask questions. Always ask questions so therefore, because if people can deceive you and take advantage of you, oh God, they will so much do that. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for that message. And to hope and pray that everyone understands, no matter whatever you are asked to do by whoever, questions are good to be asked. Is anyone on the line? Please open up the line. Or if anyone have any comment they would like to give Dr. Serena Wright, we would appreciate it. The lines are open.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, prophetess. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, academic scholar. There's so many things and so many names that you could be called and are called. And I thank God for you for the confirmation for this message. If it wasn't for anyone else, it was definitely for me, because God had been dealing with me about institutional hypocrisy, institutional racism, institutional sexism and how it can spiritually rape you. So much so until you start walking around in shame and timidity. And he had taken me to his word, 2 Timothy 1:7, that says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control." And so I just want to share a quick testimony because it may bless someone because of Dr. Serena Wright's message about being the woman of virtue and the queen and the princess, the daughter of the king, which is what we are, daughters of the king. When we're being raped and we're being put into a place that we're walking around in fear, for years I was afraid to pray in public. For years I was afraid to minister in public. For years, excuse me, I was afraid of being in front of people. And I remember Apostle Sandra Thomas always coming to me, telling me, "Cecilia, no, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Stop being so timid." And I remember dealing with racism and sexism on the job and almost being made to feel like you couldn't attack it. You couldn't go after it. You were under a spirit, at least I was under a spirit of fear that made you feel ashamed to even talk about it because it would try to make you think that you had did something wrong to bring it upon yourself or that how they would come back after you. And this, I just thank God for you because I remember being in the church and they teach you so many times that once you get saved, I didn't say the word teaches you. I said some people teach you that once you get saved, you know, you're supposed to be this perfect person and you don't let people know that you have a shortcoming. You don't let people know that you've missed the mark. I mean, there are so many people that are dealing with institutional hypocrisy that they will not tell you that they're still suffering from a thing or they're still being delivered from a thing. And I just thank God that I know that no, I may not be the person out there fornicating. I may not be the person out there doing all of these so-called big sins, but one of the things that I know that God has been a strong deliverer in my life for is delivering me from the spirit of timidity. Because as a man and woman of God, we have to walk in power and love. We have to walk in self-control based on the power and authority that we've been given in Jesus' name. And we can't allow people to intimidate us, and as she said, to be walking around in desolation where we're ashamed of the gospel or where we're ashamed of this and that. No, racism is racism. I was on the job to where they were racist, they were sexist, they was all. And at a point, I went to God, as she said, and asked the question, "God, how long do I have to be here? How long do I have to do this?" Not knowing that he was setting me up for the future, for a future ministry, a future thing that I would be doing on my job. And so when it came time to leave, I left. And then when I went to the next place and I started and I saw it again, God gave me not only the wisdom of what to do, but he gave me the power and the authority to see it and be like, no, okay, that might not be racism. That might be a little bit of microaggressions. He allowed me to learn what it was, go to the word on how to come after it, because being spiritually raped is not always something that you learn about because you just think of it in the physical, but some of us are being spiritually raped with institutional hypocrisy, with institutional racism, with institutional sexism, and I can just go on and on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and self-control. Thank you, woman of God.
Are there anyone else? Okay, well, if there's no one else that has any remarks or comments, Dr. Serena Rice, do you have any announcements you might have? And if so, could you give them to us and also pray us out?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, woman of God. Apostle Elect, I had to put my phone on mute while you were sharing and just shout. because there is so much of this desolation running rampant through the king's, the heart of the king's people, for exact reasons that you said, that these things come up against us in life, and circumstances come up, navigated by other people, by our husband being mean or our boss being racist or whatever the case, and we end up desolate because, just like you said, that fear, that timidity, because that situation seemingly overpowering us in that circumstance. And like you said, those that Jesus began to talk in parables, and he told them in the New Testament, he said, well, these stories will unlock mysteries for those that are of me. And I hope that the revelation of what you just shared resonates, because we are may not be being physically raped. I am not living literally in a castle, but don't you know that institutional Babylonian schemes are raping the church, the global church, from I'm talking one end of North America to the next, of her authority. My God in heaven, I feel like, oh God, I thank you. Let me tell you, I cannot even, I feel like I'm going to explode. It is just so paramount that we realize, all of us collectively, that it is a bold place of authority, a bold place of fearlessness, where you rise up against that would seem to be right, and be very clear that this is not what God has called me to. And if by chance I must suffer this, it only would be that he would be glorified, and he would have no problem sharing that with me. God, we just thank you. We praise you and we glorify you. God, that we will continue to let the truth of your word illuminate us, that we would walk and live in abundance, that we would walk outside of fear and timidity, that we would be bold for you, and the kingdom advances, that we would be those that are leading and guiding the way. We thank you that the revelation, the insight, God, the place of illumination that only your word can bring has dispelled the darkness, hallelujah, of shame and guilt and embarrassment, the weight and the burden of bitterness and pride and those things that carry us outside of your presence. We thank you, Father. We give your name and your name alone all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. In your Son Jesus' name, we praise and do thank you. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dr. Serena Wright and Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, they were so true, so much needed, and so much needed more for people to understand and to pay attention. Questions can lead you in the right direction. No matter what someone is telling you, ask a question. And ask Lord, God, our Father, to lead you in the right direction, no matter what you are going to do. I want to thank each and every one of you all for listening tonight. And I want to ask that you continue to listen to us each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on Blog Talk and sometimes Facebook with Iron Sharpened Iron, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and also on Friday nights, it's Let's Talk on Blog Talk and Facebook at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser. And on Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, for Let's Talk with Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Mr. Brandon, Minister Brandon Kaiser. I want to thank each and everyone for listening tonight. And just remember, no matter what you're going through, God our Father and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, is the answer. You have a blessed and safe night, and may we all enjoy the life and love through our Father, God. Thank you.
Amen. Don't forget our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I would like to add that I would like to challenge Minister Sheila, Dr. Wright, and Minister Sylvia on tonight to share this message for 21 days. Go to the archives and share this message on Facebook for 21 days. I believe it's going to deliver and set free for this series that Dr. Wright is preaching is Rhema, and it's needed. Bye.